Hey, welcome to the Cornerstone Church Podcast, one of the many places that we love to declare Jesus.
We see you in your life living a life of resilient faith for all of your days, and we believe that listening to this message is going to be part of strengthening your faith journey.
Enjoy the message.
I want to talk today on the gift of a person. The gift of a person in your life. You can turn once again to the book of Luke, chapter 1. We will go a few verses further today and not read the exact same passage for a third week in a row. Before we talk about this next little bit, I need to catch you up because we're going to talk a little bit about the relationship of Mary and Elizabeth. But before we talk about the relationship between Mary and Elizabeth, I want to jump back to what happened at the very beginning of Luke 1. If you've never taken the time to read it for yourself, over the last couple weeks, we've been reading in the middle part of Luke 1, where the angel comes to Mary and announces to her that she is going to be the one to carry the one who would become Christ our King. But before that, there's this whole other story about a man named Zechariah and his wife named Elizabeth. They're an older couple and they're faithful, and Zechariah is a priest, but it tells us about them that they have never had any children. They've been faithful, but there's still something that they've asked God for that's missing in their life. And the angel shows up to Zechariah, and he tells Zechariah, you and Elizabeth are going to have a baby, and Zechariah doesn't believe him, so then he can't talk for the whole next little bit. And it turns out that Elizabeth does get pregnant, just like the angel said, even though they had given up hope. It's an amazing thing to have your hope restored when you had let go of dreams in your life and let go of things that you thought would be part of your life. Elizabeth and Zechariah get their hope restored to them. And Elizabeth finds herself, though it seems like she is out of season for it, carrying a miracle baby. She finds herself carrying who we would later come to know as John the Baptist, the one who would go and prepare the way for Jesus. And then Luke interrupts that story, tells us the story of Mary finding out that she's pregnant, finding out that she's going to be the one to carry Jesus. And we pick up in Luke 1, starting in verse 38. This is Mary finishing up her words to the angel Gabriel, and it says, and Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord, so let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And in those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Elizabeth and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Mary has just found out that she is pregnant with a child that is a miracle in every sense of the word. And Mary leaves where she was and she goes to a place where Zechariah and Elizabeth are also carrying a miracle child. There is no doubt in my mind that people might be one of the greatest gifts that God gives to us. That everything that we have in our life and everything that God wishes to do in the earth and every way that He wants to advance things, He sends people to do it. that we cannot live and we cannot exist, and we know more and more every year, it seems like, about the impact of being alone on our physical health, on our mental health, that it is necessary to have people in your life. People are a blessing. It's good to have people around you. It's good to be surrounded by people. It's good to be walking with people. It's good to know that there are people in close proximity to you. But all people are not the same in your life. All people are loved and cherished by God. But all people do not have the same impact in your life. Because some people all too well. There are some people in your life that their dominant role in your life is that they are the kind of people that pull you in a certain direction. I don't know if you've ever noticed how there are some people that whenever you get around them, some things are guaranteed to happen. You get back with your high school friends, and suddenly it's like you're 17 years old. You don't know how to do anything anymore except for what you knew how to do when you were 17. The jokes that you want to tell when you're around them are the jokes that you thought were funny when you were 17. You are 43 years old, and you're back there listening to music and telling jokes like you're 17 years old again. Because the people that you are around have a way of pulling you in a dominant direction. Many of us will be spending time with family. There is a fascinating thing about family dynamics, that do what you will do in your life and run what you will run in your life and be part of what you will be part of in your life, but slide back in to those family dynamics where your siblings are around you and your parents are at home, and it doesn't take much of anything before everyone starts sliding back into their slots. The jokester is the jokester again, and the bossy one is the bossy one again, and the suck up to mom is the suck up to mom again, because it's the pull of the family that these people tend to pull you in a certain direction in your life. There are people that no matter what you tell them and no matter what you bring to them, they doubt the thing that's in you. They doubt that tomorrow is going to be as good as you think tomorrow is going to be. They doubt that the promise is as big as the thing you think it's supposed to be. They doubt what God is doing for you, and they doubt with the potential that's on the inside of you. It sounds a lot like, is that really what you're going to do? It sounds a lot like, are you sure you want to take that risk? It's doubt every time you're around them. There's people, there are people who come around you that they are always a withdrawal. There are certain people that when you get around them, there is no doubt about it that there will be a withdrawal from your life. You know when you see them coming. You know when you see it on your calendar. I better charge up some time beforehand, and I better create a block afterwards, because when I see them, it's going to be a withdrawal. And here's the thing, I'm not saying that people that are a withdrawal in your life are people that are to be entirely avoided in your life. In fact, I think it's part of the calling of the people of God to be people who have the capacity and who have full enough cups that we are able to go into places where people need something and allow a withdrawal to be made from our lives. I don't believe that we are ready to serve God's people well until we are ready to serve those and be withdrawn from by those who could never return it back to us again. There's a story about Jesus. He's walking in a crowd. He's surrounded by people. There are people all around him. And it says he asks the question, "Who touched me?" And his disciples say, "There are people everywhere. What do you mean, who touched you?" And he says, "I felt something withdraw from me. I felt something leave me, because there was a woman who needed healing who had reached out and grabbed onto the hem of his garment. And when she grabbed onto him, she withdrew something that she needed from him. She had no capacity to return it. She had no ability to pour something back into him, but she needed something that he withdrew. There are people who will always be a withdrawal in your life. It doesn't make them bad people. It just means that you understand that the relationship that we have is when I show up, you're going to need a withdrawal. And everyone who's in your life isn't necessarily pulling you in a negative direction or doubting what God put in you or withdrawing the things that God has put. There are people in your life who celebrate you and who cheer you on, who love to cover you with flattery and with good words. There are people who will surround you with all kinds of celebration. There are people who want to come around you because they love you and they love you so dearly and they're in your corner for life, and they are people who want to surround you with their love and with their admiration and with the good things and with their celebration. And these kind of people all have lots of good things. But Mary looked around her where she was and she said, I see some people who pull me into who I used to be. And I see some people who are doubting me. It's not that I don't have people around me. I see some people who are going to need withdrawals from my life. And I see some people who are celebrating me. And I see some people who love me dearly. And I see some people who are willing to walk with me. I have people all around me. But when she looked around, she said, these are not the people that I need for right now. Because Mary knew that she had something on the inside of her that was a miracle straight from heaven. She knew that she was carrying something that had never been carried before. She knew that she was carrying something, that she was getting ready to have to do something that she had never done before, that no one had ever done before. She didn't just need a crowd of people around her. She needed to get to a person. And she found her way to Elizabeth, because you have to get to a person who's carrying something similar to the thing that you're carrying. She needed someone who had something in them that was a little bit like the thing that was in her. Nobody will ever carry the thing that God has put on the inside of you. And nobody will ever carry something that's identical to the thing that he has called for you. But there's somebody who has something that's similar enough that when she saw Elizabeth, there was something in Elizabeth that was like what was in Mary. And she had to get to someone who said, I know what that is, because I've got something similar on the inside of me. You have to have some person in your life. You don't need a bunch of people. You don't need a crowd. It doesn't take everyone, but you have to have a person who says, when you say that thing, I recognize that thing. When you speak that thing, I know that thing. When you tell me your vision, I see that vision. There's something on the inside of me that starts moving when you start talking about the thing that's on the inside of you. She needed a person who was carrying something that was just a little bit like the thing that she was carrying. Mary needed to get by somebody who could confirm for her the thing that was in her. She knew what she carried. She talked to the angel. She felt it changing. She knew her own history. She knew what she was carrying. But when you know what you're carrying, you ever get about midway out and you start going, am I carrying what I think I'm carrying? Did that conversation with that angel really happen? You start like gaslighting yourself. You're like, maybe I'm losing it. I might be crazy. Who did I make up a story about some baby? What is going on with me? And she was about in the midst of this process, and about in the midway, you don't need the crowd flattering you. You don't need people just celebrating you. She didn't need care packages from her neighbors. She needed someone who could confirm what was on the inside of her. When she walked into the room, it said Elizabeth heard it and said she didn't see her. She didn't see her belly. She didn't talk to her. She heard Mary's voice, and something in her said, blessed are you among women. Who am I that you would carry the Lord inside of you and still come into my house? Elizabeth knew what was in Mary, and she confirmed for her that the thing that you are carrying is the thing that you believe that you're carrying. That the thing that's on the inside of you, you're not losing your mind, Mary. You didn't make up that story, Mary. You're going to be able to make it all the way through, Mary, because I know a little bit something about this. And let me tell you, when you walked in, my baby leaped because it recognized the baby on the inside of you. And let me just confirm for you, a confirming word will push you all the rest of the way. When you get in the middle of the thing and you're not sure if you're going to make it, when you get halfway through and you're not sure if you have what it takes, when you get in the middle of it and you think, am I dreaming too big and am I wanting too much and did they really call me to this? Who am I to say that I'm carrying the Lord Most High? What's going on right here in the middle? A confirming word will take that thing all the way. And a confirming word has to come through a person who sees you and a person who knows you. You need a person who's filled with the Holy Spirit. I need a person when I'm carrying something that I've never carried before, when I'm carrying something that I'm not sure how this is going to work out, I need a person who's filled with the Holy Spirit. It says that baby leaped and Elizabeth became filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't want you to miss it, because the veil has not torn yet. Pentecost has not happened. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. Before the Holy Spirit is released for anyone who believes, I need somebody filled with the Holy Spirit. And then it says Elizabeth spoke blessing over Mary's life. She began to bless her and said, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of who you are. Blessed are you who believes in the thing that God has spoken over your life. Mary, you're blessed. Blessing can't come from just people who want to be kind to you. Blessing can't come from just anybody who thinks well of you. Blessing has to come from somebody who's carrying something too. Blessing has to come from somebody who's filled with the Holy Spirit. Blessing has to come from somebody who sees what it is that's on the inside of you. Mary looks at Elizabeth and Elizabeth sees Mary, and Elizabeth begins to speak blessing over Mary's life. Blessing is that thing that it's tough to describe and it's tough to ascertain, because it's a space that you live in. It's a way of being. It's something, in some translations it means, happy are you, Mary. Happy are you even in the midst of trouble. Happy are you even in the midst of trial. Happy are you even in the midst of hardship. Happy are you even in the midst of confusion. And there's also this thing about blessing that it has to do with that you'll have the strength to carry the thing you've been asked to carry, that your shoulders are broad enough to hold what God is putting in your life. There's this thing about blessing that it's favor for you, for where you go. It means that the road will open up in front of you. It means that no weapon formed against you can prosper. You can't really pin blessing down to just one thing, because it's just this thing that gets on you and this thing that wraps around you and this thing that comes straight from heaven over your life, and just people everywhere can't put blessing on you. You need somebody who's gone before you. Elizabeth has years that Mary doesn't have, and Elizabeth is carrying something on the inside of her. Anybody can't speak blessing over you. You need somebody who has something to begin to speak blessing over your life. But Mary finds Elizabeth, and Elizabeth begins to speak blessing over her. Because God doesn't just want people around you. It's good to have some people, but when you're carrying something, you need a person to partner with you in this purpose that God has called you to. God has a way of partnering people up together. I think we miss it because we try to do it alone sometimes. I think we miss it because we think, God put something on the inside of me. Now I'm just going to go for it all by myself. And God says, I have a partner for you to strengthen you, to encourage you, to confirm the thing that's on the inside. God has a way of partnering people. He put Adam and Eve in the garden together. He sent out Moses and he gave him Aaron. Esther and Barak went to war together. When he sent the disciples out, he sent them in pairs. He said, you need a partner for this thing. When Jesus came to begin his earthly ministry, John went before him. He needed a partner to do this thing. And when Mary was carrying something, he sent her to Elizabeth and said, I have a partner for you in this moment. I have a partner for you in this season. My belief for you, my prayer for you, my word for you is that there are some of you that are carrying something and you need a partner to speak this thing into existence. You need a partner to confirm it. You need a partner who is filled with the Holy Spirit, that God has purpose-filled partners who are coming into your life. You don't need a crowd and you don't need the people. You just need the gift of a person in your life. If that's you and you know that you are carrying something, but you haven't yet found the partner for it, or you're looking for a partner for it, or you're saying, God, where is the gift of a person for my life? I just want you to stand to your feet. I'm going to pray over you right now that his hand would come over your life, that your eyes would see the people, the person that he's sending you, that they would stand out from the crowd. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have called these people. I thank you for the thing that you're carrying. I thank you for the thing that you have placed on the inside of them, Father God. We speak into existence right now and we call the partners that you have placed for them and purpose for them to come up alongside them. I ask for eyes to be open. I ask for ears to begin to hear, God. I ask for people to begin to stand out from the midst of the crowd. I thank you, God, that you have called us to partnership, that you send to us the gift of a person in our life. When it feels like we don't know if we can carry this thing on our own, that you are sending purpose-filled partners into their life, Father God. I declare over them that everything you have spoken to them would come to pass. I declare over them, Father God, that every dream, every vision, every purpose that you have seed that you have planted on the inside of them would be wholly, completely, fully coming into existence in the way that you called it, that it wouldn't be dropped because they're running alone, but that partners are coming their way in the mighty name of Jesus. We say amen, amen. Yes, God. Thank you, God. I believe that partners are coming your way. I believe that you're going to begin to see the person that God has placed in your life for this thing, for this moment, for this purpose. Might not have the same partner for everything in your life. Some of my biggest mistakes in life have been thinking that one person was supposed to be my everything person. God has purpose partners for the things that he places, and he's sending you the gift of a person. One of the things that I love about this time of year is I think the good conversation that we have about not getting lost in tinsel and fig pudding and gift wrapping and packages, and I hear the Grinch, it didn't come in string and boxes and packages and bows. It was something much more. And we start talking about the people that we do life with. We start talking about remembering in this season that it's not about all of the fun things that we do. It's about the people that we come alongside. And I think that's true, and I think there's a lot of good in that. But the central message of the Advent season, the central message of Christmas, is not the people that we will gather with. The central message is not the people that come alongside us. The central message of this time of year is a person. It is the person of Jesus who came. The central message is not all of the people that you love doing life with. It is the person who came into the world and asked us to become partners in the reconciliation and the restoration of all that was lost. The central message is that the divine became a person. A person who has felt what we felt, who has carried what we carry, who has ached like we ache and wondered like we wonder and been confused and lost and struggled through the pain and the heaviness of life, who has had relationships and been betrayed, who has been turned on and lied on. The central message is that the divine is now a person. Hebrews 4, the writer of Hebrews writes it this way. In Hebrews 4, starting in verse 14, it says, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens." I just want to point this out for you here, that the picture of the high priest was not a picture of someone who was relatable to me. The picture of the high priest was not someone who understands the way that I live my life. In fact, it was the goal of the high priest to point out how different they were, how different their life was from just the regular common Jewish person who was trying to serve God. They wanted you to know that they were so separate from who you were, that all you could do is hope to maybe kind of achieve a semblance of a level of holiness that was anywhere close to the shadow of what they have. But after Jesus comes, the writer of Hebrews says, "So we have a high priest who has passed through the heavens. It's Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession, for we don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but rather one who in every respect has been tempted as we are tempted, yet he was without sin. So let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." I'm glad to have people in my life, and it's nice to have a crowd to hang out with sometimes, but I can forego all of the people as long as I have the gift of a person, the gift of the person of Jesus, the gift of the divine one who became flesh, not so he could say, "Look how holy I am. Look how high I stand above you. Look how you'll never be able to achieve it and you'll never be able to reach it." But the one who said, "I am completely divine. I am completely holy. I'm completely above what you could ever reach. So what I want to do is I want to come down here and I want to get a little bit closer to you. And I want to be in a form where you can touch me. And I want to be in a form where I can say to you, I know what it's like for your heart to break. And I know what it's like to feel that temptation of what if I just skirted around this? Or what if I just didn't do it all the way God told me to? I know what that temptation feels like. And I want you to know that I feel the heaviness that you feel. And I feel the aching that you feel. And I recognize the thing that's stirring on the inside of you. And with that great confidence, all you have to do now is draw near to him and say, I want to be close to the throne of grace. I want your mercies to fill me in fresh ways. I want to be overcome by your love, oh God. I want to lay down everything that was before, and I want to draw near to who you are." The central message is the gift of a person, of the person of Jesus, that a person came to be with us so that we could go to be with him. This is the central message. Jesus, our great Redeemer. Everyone who can, will you stand with me all across the room? If you're online, you can stand. If you're at home, or just lean in your heart. Because right now, someone is getting ready to approach his throne with confidence for the first time. That he's not ashamed of you, and he's not embarrassed of you or of your background. And I promise you, you're not too far gone. But he's calling you home. He's saying with great confidence, draw near to me. Come in to this place. Come home to the person of Jesus. It's the gift that you can't wrap up. And I promise you, it is the greatest gift that you will receive this year. The gift of his salvation, the gift of his love and his forgiveness and his redemption. That's you, and you're saying, I'm drawing near. I've decided that today is my day, that I'm saying yes to Jesus. I just want you to raise your hand straight in the air all across this room. Hands are going up. I see you, love. I see you, love. I see you, sir. Hands are going up of people that are saying, I am saying yes to Jesus. I'm saying yes to his promises. I'm saying yes to his name. I see you, love, in the balcony up there. Awesome. Awesome. I'm just giving it a minute in case anybody else wants to raise their hand today. It's a good day. Amazing. Church, will you just say these words with me? Say, God, I come to you today in Jesus' name. I believe in his life. I believe in his death. And I believe in his resurrection. And today, I ask him to come into my life. Today, I have decided to let go of a life led by me and take hold of a life led by you. Holy Spirit, teach me how. Help me walk in this for all my days. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Come on, church, let's celebrate. Some more people said yes to being followers of Jesus today. Some more people have just entered his throne with great confidence. It's a good day to celebrate the gift of a person today.